Good morning, everybody. I'm very proud to present our program called the Integration of Family Planning Services into an STD clinic setting. This program was not just myself, but High is also a part of this, and there's a number of collaborators that have been involved. Deb Reinhardt, who's in the audience and stuff. And so it's a great team that I've enjoyed working with. And what I want to describe for you is a program that, evaluation of a program where we've integrated services into our STD program. This has been funded by the Office of Population Affairs Service Delivery Improvement Grant. And so I have no disclosures to tell you about. So let's talk first about why integrate family planning services into STD care. As you all are aware, unintended pregnancy has significant individual and public health consequences. There are similar behaviors that come into both STD and unintended pregnancy, so there's a commonality between the behaviors in regards to that. And people who come to STD clinics who are seeking those services may not have another source for family planning services. STD clinics offer a very nice venue to be able to provide these integrated services if people know, clinicians know how to do it. So what does our program offer? And we're the Denver Metro Health Clinic. It's right down the street. What we offer through that STD program is family planning services are provided to men and women who are eligible at least once a year when they present for STD services. And then those who are low risk, we refer them to primary care for ongoing services. So we start birth control, we start the discussion, and then we move them out because there's enough patients with STD problems that we need to keep the doors open for all the new patients to keep walking in. We do have continuity services available, and those are for women or for teens that have who need birth control because they found us and we want to keep them on birth control. And then high-risk women who we have developed some criteria that we use that we then provide it for a year for those women. Now, what do we offer for women? So we offer STD screening, testing, and treatment. Then we offer, that's part of our package for STD program, and then we offer family planning services, and those are not just birth control, but preconception care, something I feel very important about. People who are not using birth control, then we want to plan them for how they want to plan their pregnancies. Pregnancy testing, and then the options associated with the test being positive or negative, and then initial contraceptive services with, if say, 3 months of a birth control packet, or whatever they're needing, and then emergency contraception if they want it. If we do give somebody emergency contraception, we always give them something else in on top of that. So our method is EC plus condoms, and we'll do that as anticipatory. We'll give EC if somebody's going to use condoms for their birth control method on an ongoing basis. The methods that we provide is a whole slew of methods, birth control pills, the patch, the ring, the depot shot, and we also provide IUDs and implants. And people would say STD programs cannot provide IUDs, and we have shown through careful screening that we can do this, and we have had no complications related to providing those. Then we provide condoms and spermicide in the emergency contraception, as I've described. We also had some funds, it sort of depends on times of the year, where we can then pay for referrals for sterilization for women. And then for men, remember men are part of the equation, so we really want to integrate these services together. We again provide STD screening, testing, and treatment, and then we provide family planning services for the men. And part of it is education, getting men to feel that this is part of their responsibility as well. So we involve them in their pregnancy planning and their prevention. We provide them with accurate information about the birth control methods that are available, the benefits of spacing children, about safe pregnancy and delivery, and it's important that they're aware of these things. If they're thinking about having a family, then we give them preconception counseling as we do for women, and then we provide condoms, and then if they're using female-directed methods, we talk to them about it so that they're at least aware, thinking about what's available if their partner is not using it. If somebody wants emergency contraception, we provide it for the men if their partner is a patient of ours. So we don't just give it to men just to give it to them, but we give it to them if their patient, if their partner is part of our clinical panel, which a lot of our patients are. And then we also refer people to vasectomies, and we've had some funds to pay for it. It's pretty inexpensive to provide vasectomies. We need more people trained in that service to provide. That would be important. So let me talk about the objectives of our program and what I'm going to describe for you and some of the results. So we wanted to first measure utilization of family planning services among clients seen at the Denver Metro Health Clinic. To measure the additional time required to offer family planning services with STD service. This is an important point. Does it take more time and how much, and is it cost beneficial? To assess staff perceptions about it for providing these integrated services, because STD clinicians are hired to do STD care, and now you're throwing something else on top of them. It's a little more complicated, and how do you do it? To identify strategies to facilitate integrating these programs together, and then to assess the ultimate incident rates of pregnancy and STDs among clients enrolled or not enrolled into family planning services. So let's talk, the way we did this, and this program is ongoing, so we'll have more data in about a year or two, but we've measured utilization of services using our electronic medical record. We've measured staff perceptions through interviews, and I'm going to show you actually pre-integration staff perceptions regarding that, and then measuring patient responses, qualitative assessments of people's feeling about it, and I'll show you some post-integration data on that for 168 patients. Measure the time, the additional time required, and Haifeng is going to actually describe more in detail about the cost related to that. And then we've looked at incident rate for both STDs, gonorrhea and chlamydia, 6 months after the visit, and then pregnancy, which is within one year. And that's part of why we can't show you, like, post-integration data for people who got family planning or not family planning services. So let's talk about pre-integration time period. So we're looking at 4 years. January 2006 to December 2009, that's before we integrated our charting together, and I'll explain why that's important in a minute. And we had a little over 36,000 patients that we saw that were eligible for family planning, of which 38% were women. Among that group, 54% received family planning services. Men and women are pretty similar, but as you notice, you can see that actually the amount of time over from 2006 to 2009, we've had a steady increase in the amount of integrated services. So a person walks in the door, they're getting counseling on both family planning and STD care. Now, one of the reasons 2009 jumped up is we hired some new people that were very interested in family planning, and so that helped it along. But still, it's not everybody walking through the door, and the goal is everybody who leaves the clinic has learned about family planning and STD and the integration of those programs. The most common methods that we provided were condoms for men, and 27% walked out knowing about female-directed methods, and they knew that that was what they were using. For females, 30% pills, 63% male condoms, 13% were getting depots and injections, and 12% were getting the ring or the patch. Now, there are more people are getting condoms than just 63% that walk out the door, but that's the method they're using for their birth control, and that's what they identify. There was no difference in this cohort of 2008 or 2009 in regard to the incident of gonorrhea and chlamydia. Among those who enrolled or did not enroll into family planning services, which is good, because you could say, oh, now they're worrying about family planning, they're not using protection to avoid STD, and that's not happening. And then there were no differences at this time in regard to pregnancy rates or median time to pregnancy among those enrolled or not enrolled. But that we're still looking at some interesting information in regard to that. Now, post-integration, and I'll describe what post-integration means. So post-integration was on January 1 of 2010, the charting for family planning was integrated into the STD chart. And that's a big deal, and I'll show you pictures of how that looks. But now you do everything as part of one visit. Before, you had to pull down the record, and you had to actually remember to enroll a person into family planning. And this way, it's all part of the package. And so that's important. Everybody's already trained, but now they're remembering to think about it. And so from January the 1st till the end of August, we've had 7,078 clients, which is more than we saw in the first every year for the first 4 years of pre-integration. We've already seen 7,078 clients that were eligible for family planning services. 42% were female. And as you can see, with the integration, now 95% of the people that walked in the door got family planning services with with their STD care, and there was no difference, again, with men or women. So the majority of clients are getting it, which is a significant increase from pre-integration services. In terms of the most common methods, men, condoms, the most common method, but you can see now more of them are using, or at least thinking about, female-directed methods. And then for the females, a little less in pills, and then you've got a little less in condoms, but you've got more women being provided long-acting methods. Now we're putting in IUDs and implants, and now it's 8% of the methods that we're using, 8% injection and 8% ring and patches. So that's a change, because now we can have long-term effects on pregnancy prevention for these women. And then this is the key, and Hai is going to go into this in a lot more detail, but the time to provide the integrated services versus just STD services alone, 38 minutes to provide an integrated visit, 29 minutes to provide STD services alone. So 9 minutes and you get both, a package of both, which if you think about it, the counseling is similar. It's and if you use client-centered approach to counseling, you can actually integrate those together and make it work. Now, I want to just talk to you about how we streamlined our process. So a person comes in, they're registered, and then we triage them based on their symptoms, the complexity of their problem, and if they're interested in family planning services. If they are, have complex patients, and they're interested in family planning, and they're new to us, they get a new patient visit, and we do a complete exam, and then we provide family planning. It's integrated into the program. If they're here for a follow-up from something else, they get follow-up, they might get an exam. Again, if they have not had family planning, they will get it at that time. And you can see the types of clinicians that are providing it, nurse practitioner, RN, or LPN for follow-up, but for the new visits, it's RN or nurse practitioner. And the express visits, no exam is done, and they have screening, and then they can be also provided with family planning services, and that can be done by unlicensed professionals as well as licensed professional. All of this is protocol based. And then a person coming back for family planning only, an IUD, or just birth control, a teen, they can get it through family planning only, and it's by a nurse practitioner or an RN. This is the chart, and this is what our grant was actually to integrate. And as you can see up here, this is where it says family planning status. This is the record that the clinician sees when they're registered, and it's all based on previous history when they walk in. If it's a gay male, and they're not bisexual, they will not be eligible. They'll be ineligible. But if somebody's, and if somebody's had a hysterectomy, and we know that before, they will be ineligible. So those kinds of things are screened out. But here it says check eligibility. So the clinician sees that they're supposed to do that as part of the visit, and they will then address it and integrate it through. And then here, so you can see, is our chart. And one thing I want to highlight is, here's this one thing that says FP eligibility. The clinician is supposed to complete that documentation before they can close out the record. And one of is the questions is, are you enrolling in family planning? That's very important. And then we, this, where you can see this planned contraception is, what did they walk out the door with? And so you can see the different types of methods, and we also collect counseling information. All of this is electronic, so we can actually report on everything. Everything a part of our record is based on all the things that are needed for reporting to the federal government, the state, or whatever. Now, in terms of staff perception, this is before integration, and it said that all of them supported it. They thought it was great to be able to provide it. The clients needed it. It seemed logical. One provider can provide it and increases rapport and continuity. Everybody seemed very committed to it. The big challenge was this whole thing of complex patients, and we're hoping that now, post-integration, where we've really aligned visits to the type of complexity of the patient, where the appropriate clinician is seeing them, that will help. So we'll see when we do that later. And then people really thought in terms of perception, it's a strength of our program, especially for the teens who have trouble coming in for services. And they really thought that people are having unprotected sex, so we should stop both. In terms of patients' perception, and this is very important, always know what patients think about it. We surveyed people June through September 2010, 168 surveys, 57% women, 42% men, 8.3% Spanish speaking, and people were satisfied. The majority of people were very satisfied, and the majority of people felt that they were respected, their values and culture and lifestyle. So that's important. In terms of cost and sustainability, this is the key. This is it. We got to figure out how to keep these things rolling. And so what we have done is we've taken Title X dollars with our ST dollars and integrated them together. So we get a full package so we can provide more STD services and family planning services together. And now our family planning fund makes up about 25% of our total STD budget, which is a big deal for keeping people employed and keeping the services available. A benefit I feel that's good is people come in, they want birth control, and we do STD screening, so it's kind of a benefit there. And then what we're doing is we're integrating, integration maximizes the infrastructure of the clinic. We have everything set up, the lab, everything. We can do it all very quickly and streamline it. In terms of limitations, we have things to do in our grant that we still need to do. We need to look at STD rates and pregnancy rates, conduct multivariates, look at pre-post integration and see what that means. And then, of course, exploring the cost benefit of this whole program. This is important for funders. The feds are very interested in this, and we are very interested in this. So in conclusion, STD programs serve high-risk people. And many of the people who come there lack access to services. So we are there to help them and integrate these programs together. It's a public health mandate. The CDC has mandated that we should integrate things together. And so it's an economy of scale, if I may say, to be able to do this. It focuses on overlapping healthcare issues and behaviors and makes sense to me as a clinician. And it's feasible to perform, and it takes advantage of existing public health structures that we have. So thank you very much. Thank you.